Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome and thank you for tuning into In the Arms of the Angels, hosted by Dr. Kai McNeil on Spiritual Connections Radio.
Hey, thank you for tuning into Spiritual Connections Radio. This is Dr. Connie, and her show is on every Thursday from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we're really excited to have her on. So, Dr. Connie?
All righty. Thank you, Mark. Good evening. Again, this is Dr. Connie McNeil. I am a clinical psychologist. I am a intuitive a life coach. I've been able to do a lot with the guiding that God has given me, and I am amazed at the connection between people and between generations. And one of the things that I wanted to talk tonight about was stress, because I find it everywhere. In my job, people are, they seem to be, they're telling me that they're just much more stressed, and they don't feel good. And during this time of the year when we're exposed to so many more colds and coughs and that kind of a thing, coming into this time of year with the holiday season is a not only a financial stressful time for people, but an emotional stressful time. And it's a lot of times I hear people say they just, you know, they can't wait for the holidays to be over. They can't wait just to kind of for things to get back to normal, because this shift in the in our life space is very difficult for a lot of people. So it's possible that you could be experiencing more stress, more anxiety than you normally do. So what I really felt that the angels wanted me to impart to you was ways that you could refocus your thinking on what's going on in your life at this time, especially if your desire is to continue to grow spiritually and be deeper connected with God. A quick aside before I get into that is at the half hour of my show, I do give angel card readings. So if you would like to have a reading, Mark, I'm going to give this number, and if this is not the right number, please let me know, but the number I have is 646-716-9663. That's 646-716-9663. You can call that number and get in touch with me and get an angel card reading. So if that is something that speaks to you, was that the right number, Mark?
Yes, it is.
Okay, great. So we're good to go. Call that number if you feel so inclined, and I would love to have an opportunity to speak with you. So here's what I want to do about supporting you in your getting through the next few months that in these next few weeks that some people find so difficult. One of the things that the angels keep telling me is the number one way to transition through a stressful time, and the number one way is for you to feel more calm and centered is to focus out, is to focus on other people. Part of that may come at a price, because if I focus out, there is the potential that I could feel like that I'm giving more than I'm getting, or I could feel like that the cost is too great, either in my time or my money or my for those people who are healers. A lot of times we end up when we deal energetically with people, there could be some residual effect and just a little haze that could hang around. So part of shifting through these next few weeks, and it's really a beautiful and a glorious time to do it, is truly focusing out with the expectation of getting absolutely nothing back. And with the expectation that if it costs me time, money, energy, whatever, then God is going to bless me, or the universe is going to bless me in deepening my spiritual walk. And the example for that is I'm going to use a spirit animal. And I find a deep connection, and I've always found a deep connection with animals. Most of my dogs have been angels with paws. So I find that animals are a God's way and the angels' way of really giving us unconditional love. And one of the animal spirits is actually the antelope. And the antelope, the spirit of the antelope is a spirit of action. And what the antelope actually did in the beginning time was antelope was the animal that looked at man and saw that man was not going to be able to survive unless it had help from the antelope. So what the antelope did is it went up to man, and man was cold. And antelope said, "Kill me and take my skin for warmth." And man said, "But we're hungry," because this was right around the ice age. So antelope knew, the spirit of antelope knew, that there was going to be a shift from eating, being an herbivore, to becoming a carnivore, just to be able to survive. So antelope said, "Then take my meat and eat me, and that way you will survive." And so that's what man did, and because of the actions of the antelope, has been able to survive through this day. So when you have the spirit of the antelope, it's a call into action. It's being in a place where you have communed enough with spirit, and you instinctively know what it is you need to do. Now, that could be write a letter. That could be go help somebody do chores in their house, or take food to somebody who's hungry, or donate clothes, or recycle, or whatever. But if you were to sit quietly and ask Spirit, "What do you need me to do? What is the thing in order for me to focus out and to grow in my spiritual walk?" You'll get an answer. And when you get that answer, then you do it. Because Spirit is a very timely communication. So this isn't, I'm going to give you this nudge to do this, but I don't want you to do it for another 48 hours. Usually when you get a nudge, the time to act is right then. So with the spirit of antelope, It is a selfless action. And the intention is to be of service to somebody else or something else in a way that supports your family, your community, Mother Earth. Antelope knew inherently is that antelope was the power that was going to make a change for man. You are the power that is going to make a change for whatever it is that Spirit asks you to do. So when you're starting to feel stressed, I don't have the money. What am I going to do? I can't find this present. I have to work so many more hours to make enough to support Christmas or whatever your concern is. For a lot of people are very lonely at this time of year. So it's very easy to find ways, be of service of people that would actually make this season the best season ever, because you stood in your power and you made a decision to do what Spirit asked you to do. And the reason that's so important is because we are all so deeply connected, not only in this life that we've all chosen to live in this earth space at this time. The connection that we have with our ancestors that go back to the millennium. One of the cool things I always think when I look at Prince William and Prince Harry is that they can trace their lineage back to the first king of England and even before. And to have that heritage and to know where you come from and to have it so deeply researched, obviously, because they were the figurehead. But we all have that kind of connection to our ancestors, and even longer back than that, because the spirit of our ancestors, a lot of people believe that they inhabit the earth still, but they inhabit it in the trees or the rocks or the ground or the air or the water. So when we go out and we are in nature, it's like we're being surrounded by those who have gone before us. And it's we can get energy from Mother Earth. We can get energy from Father Sky. We can get energy. A lot of people, they call them tree huggers, but they actually can get and feel energy coming from the trees. In a long-standing meditation that I've had of being on a big rock with a Buddha looking like a wise person. And the last time I had this meditation, Buddha actually gave me a rock. And there was a lot of power and a lot of like answers in this rock because of the energy in it. So we can commune with nature, and we give out of the spirit of the antelope because there is such a deep connection between us and that are living at this time and the us that have gone on before. So it's a continuation on the Lion King. I remember Simba asking Mufasa you know, Mufasa was telling his son, Simba, to honor the antelope. And he said, well, don't we eat the antelope? And he goes, well, we eat the antelope, but when we die, our bodies become the grass, and then the antelope eats us. So it's a giant giving and receiving and giving and receiving. And the reason that we get stressed and the reason that we get tired and the reason that we just want to give up and the reason is because we are so focused on ourselves and our problems. And the more we focus on our problems, obviously the more they multiply. So being able to shift that focus and being in service to other people, is one of the best, being of service of other people without expecting anything in return. And being willing to let it hurt. Being willing to know that you gave until you felt something come out of you. That you give outside of your comfort zone. That if you're going to donate money, you don't donate your Coke money. You donate part of your rent money. It's that kind of giving because I feel led by the universe to give in this way, in whatever way that is, whether it's time or money or whatever. So what God is asking us to do in this time is to give. It's giving from the heart. You know, I was going through something the other day, and I was talking to a family member, and my family member said, "Gee, you know, man, I wish I could help you, but you know," and it's that we want to give out of our comfort zone. I have, you know, 2 inches worth of extra. I'll give you my 2 inches worth of extra, whatever that is. But it's the spirit of the antelope, because I am connected so deeply with everyone on earth and so deeply with the earth itself, that giving to somebody else is the same thing as giving to me. That's why I feel so good when I do something for somebody else, because what I've really done is I've given back to myself. And this is a challenge that the universe is asking of you, to put yourself in a position where you pray and you meditate and you use your spiritual gifts as a healer or an artist or a chef or a friend or a whatever, so that you touch the life of somebody else. It's giving to your community. When you feel you need support, you call on like-minded people. Not like-minded people because I'm stressed, I'm going to go find other stressed people, or I don't have a job, so I'm going to go find other people that don't have a job. It's finding that group, that spiritually connected person or people that are going to call you up to a higher place, that are not just going to listen to you complain about how hard things are, but let you have your moment of complaining. And then after your complaining is over, okay, now what? It's finding those people. It's finding that, and it's being that person for somebody else. that you connect with them in a way that after they've had their 10 minutes of complaining about how hard everything is, okay, now what? Now how are you going to move on? How are you going to help somebody else? How are you going to reach out? It's getting a community of people, local or long distance, however it works, so that you have a connection. I have a woman who I have been calling for as a sort of a, she does theta healing for me, and I've known her for years. Never met her, but the other day I was up, couldn't sleep, up at 3:00 in the morning, and I was meditating and I was journaling and I was telling God and really opening myself up that these are the issues that I really need to work on. And this is my friend who lives in California. She actually called me about, oh, I don't know, 2 or 3 hours later. She had been up at the same time. She also couldn't sleep. She also was doing some prayer and meditation on the exact same things that I was praying and meditating on. And when she was done praying, Spirit spoke to her about me and how she might be able to be of support to me. So when you call yourself up to God and you say, these are my concerns and this is what I need, there are connections made, and people, you will be put in the minds and hearts of people that may or may not call you. But there's a lifeline, there's a connection, there's a something that goes out. And it's not unusual that another person is going to be thinking about you or holding you in prayer, or, gee, you just came to my mind and I just had to call you. That kind of a thing. Because we are so connected. Because I reach out to others, I have opened that door to be able to receive when others reach out to me. So I really hope that this is making sense, and I really hope that you get that being of service in this time when people are hungry and people are cold. And I work in a school, and the school that I work in has some very impoverished families. Yes, financially, but also emotionally. And there's a lot of problems with health, and a lot of problems with violence, and a lot of problems with a lot of issues. And if you are in a community where you are so sheltered that you don't see any of that, then you need to broaden your horizons, because we are in a place, if we are called up to service by our Creator, and we all are, to know what that service is. And it is quite likely that the service is going to cost us, so that we are uncomfortable when we don't do anything. When we call on God and ask for ideas and ask for support and ask for creative ways to make a difference. So that's the kind of going into the end of the year and the holiday season, and that's kind of context that we can go into this with, is how can I make this time different for somebody else? Go serve a Thanksgiving dinner. My family, even when my kids were very young, like four and five, we'd go serve at a Thanksgiving dinner, and my little six-year-old would be carrying trays for you know, adults five times her size. Because it, and she remembers being there and being so young, but of being in service, and it makes a difference. It makes an impression. So time when it's, everybody has a tendency to, you know, kind of think of themselves. It's really our time to make a difference in the world and stand up, you know, stand up to a higher calling. So, Mark, I'm going to let you come on and do your, or not.
Hello.
Oh, there you are. Hello.
Hello.
I find that you can hear me better if I'm not muted.
Ah, okay.
Alrighty, everybody, you're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. This is In the Arms of the Angels with Dr. Connie. She is on every Thursday from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And to find out more about her her show and other shows, you can go to our website, which is spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And Dr. Connie, why don't you go ahead and give out your website?
Absolutely, www.drconniesays.com.
Excellent. We want to make a special announcement and let you know that for Thursday next week, which is our show next Thursday, there's no show and no replay. We're all taking the day off to have turkey. So no show and no replay next Thursday.
So are we... Is it back to me, or what are we doing here?
Yeah, it's back to you.
All righty. So how is it that you can get to a place in the hubbub and in the rush and in the stress and in the year end of year stuff? Yes, sir.
Let me go ahead and give out the number for anybody who wants to call in and get a reading. 646-716-9663. That's 646-716-9663. Go ahead.
All righty. Thank you, Mark. Okay, so anyway, I almost forgot what I was going to say. How much in this end-of-year rush, and there seems to be in the corporate world, there's the end of the fiscal year and so many wrap-up things happen at this time. And the tendency is for us to become more stressed. So as I'm going through my day, in my day-to-day routine, how can you find a way that you can relax enough and stop long enough and reset yourself so that you, you know, you're able to listen to spirit and listen to an opportunity and welcome an opportunity and see an opportunity to be of service. And one of the easiest ways to do that is you can take a 5-minute vacation. And the way that you do that, and you can do it anywhere, you can even take a, you know, go take a bathroom break. You find yourself in a lone spot and you just take some deep breaths and you close your eyes and you think about somewhere that you want to be. And when you do that, you see it in color, vivid color. You smell the smells. You see whatever there is to see. If it's a beach, then how blue is the water? Do you have palm trees, birds in the air, hearing the water lapping on the shore? If you're in the mountains, seeing the snow, feeling that really crisp tingle when you go outside and the air is just so fresh. And you breathe in that thought. And one of the cool things about the body is that when you breathe all of that stuff in, your brain thinks you're there, wherever that is. And your body's going to react accordingly. So if I'm out in an area that I truly love and that's very relaxing, and I'm seeing all of this beauty that surrounds me, and I'm putting myself in that place, then my body is going to be in that place. And in 5 minutes, I can reset myself so that I'm feeling calmer. I feel grounded. My breathing is deeper. The thing about stress is that it touches every cell in the body. Every cell in the body is affected when we get stressed, because stress is fear. Fear of, I'm not good enough, I can't do a good enough job, what if, you know, my boss doesn't like me, what if I whatever, fill in the blank. So stress is fear. And our bodies instantly react to fear, every cell in our body. And if I'm going to be of service, I need to be healthy. I need to honor my body enough that I'm either going to react out of fear, or if I'm in a calm, beautiful sanctuary that I have created for myself, I am now reacting out of love. Love for nature, the love that God has for me, that I have for God. The hope and the optimism and the beauty that I see and feel when I'm in that space. So when I am feeling stressed, worried, tired, irritable, angry, depressed, worried, anxious, wringing my hands, irritable, when I'm starting to feel, you know, really bummed out, really like, then I know that I get to shift out of that particular feeling. And one of the ways that Archangel Michael was telling me is to shift into thinking and saying positive affirmations, positive thoughts. You can actually find some quotes and write them out or type them out and have a list of them. And when you're starting to feel a certain way, grab that list and start reading them. Grab that list and start looking at something that's going to shift your thinking and shift your mood and shift your mind to moving from fear into moving into love, because those are the only two things you got. So if you're feeling stressed out, you're dwelling in a fearful place, and you can shift out of fear. One of the things that we used to do, me and a colleague, is we had, I believe it's Albert Ellis, a psychologist, that came up with this idea of rating where that thing is, that stressful thing or fearful thing or depressed thing or whatever, wherever you're at, from 0 to it doesn't matter at all, to number 10 as being the worst possible thing that you can imagine, like standing in the Twin Towers and looking out the window and seeing a plane coming at you. or being in the Holocaust, or the most terrifying thing that you could think of is a 10. Now, that thing that you're experiencing right now, where do you rate it? Most people, I have never heard a person say 10, ever. So wherever you're at, you know there's things that are worse. You know there's things that are worse. And that kind of puts things in a better perspective. And it makes things more manageable if my event that was, I came in and it was just so, so horrible is, oh, I only found that it's a 6 out of a 10. So sometimes putting a number on how bad it is compared to, you know, again, standing in the Twin Towers and looking out the window and the plane coming at you. Most of the things we find are very doable. A lot of the fear that we have that keeps us from focusing out is fear that was given to us by our parents. So if I have financial fear, if I have relationship expectations, if I have something, a lot of the times it's because I've learned that this is the way I should think about certain things. And if I can let go of the expectations from my family or my religion or my community or my wherever you want to put that, it frees me up to think something different. And if I can think something different, then God has an opportunity to come in and show me that I have options. So God is a God of options. God is a God of exploring what works for you. God is a God of, I'm going to be your co-driver and you're going to drive the car. And if you listen to my guidance, then we're going to have a great journey. Even though we're going to go into the valley and into the tunnels and into places that may look like dead ends, stick with me. And you're going to find that it's a great journey because you're going to be moving down the road. Oh, and by the way, while you're on this journey, we're going to have multiple opportunities to reach out and help other people who don't know as much and aren't as fortunate spiritually as you are. I find that it's very helpful for me to have a way that I can reach God, a ceremony or a ritual or something that I do on a routine basis that helps anchor me for the day. And I know I've spoken about this before, but I do my cards. And because I'm such a visual person and a visual learner, if I can see a card and see a picture or see a word or see a prayer or see a something, then as I go through my day, and I always ask what is the thing you want me to know for the day that's for my highest good? Then I can remember and picture that card or cards in my head, and it helps me make the decisions that I make during the day. So it's, if you want to be in service to people, then you get to be, it's almost like you're getting your daily instructions. So when you have decisions to make and when you have events that you have to do, if it's under the umbrella of, okay, today we're going to look at being, you know, every experience, allowing God to be in every experience, then when the door slams in my face, then I get to know that God can teach me how to be loving and forgiving even when the door slammed in my face. So it's just a different way of viewing how I can react to the things that I need to. Because my ultimate goal is to be in a place where I am of service and I am so filled with love that I react out of love instead of my knee-jerk reaction being that of fear. Fear showing itself up in anger or depression or low self-esteem or anxiety, whatever it is. We learn how to react from our families. So if we grew up in a family with a lot of anger, it's possible that our go-to place is going to be anger. Or if my parents were alcoholics, it's possible that my go-to place will either be that I would drink or I would be attracted to drinkers. So looking at our reaction and where we go when we get upset is a opportunity for us to get to know ourselves better. This is what I do, and I don't like what I do. Because the connection that God wants us to make and being of service to other people also means we get to be in service to us. And sometimes being in service to us means that we're looking at our raw self. We're looking at that deepest part of ourselves that we really don't want anybody else to look at. We don't want anybody else to see. It's us without the mask. And when I get to know that person, and when I get to love that person, then I am genuine and authentic when I give and be in service to other people. Because a lot of people are in service because it makes them look good. A lot of people are in service because they feel guilty and they hope that they'll not feel so guilty if they go do something for somebody. But when I know that I am just what I am and I get to love the good parts as well as the bad parts, and I get to have a real acceptance for my own imperfections, then when I reach out, it's a whole different feeling when I am in service of other people. When I am loving the parts of me that are not very lovable. That's the connection. That's when I get to grow. And God can, like I was telling you about my friend who, through his illness, lost his legs and his most of his eyesight and his kidney function. Some of the scars you get to see. And he's able to, from his broken body, has been able to go out and be reach a community of people that he would never be able to reach had he not had those physical conditions. But when we have our emotional conditions, when we have our our trials and tribulations and struggles, I can touch you, and I can be touched because I'm open. So part of the growth is being authentically in service to other people, because we all have those parts of ourselves that we don't want anyone to see. Some of us, it's like out there on our bodies, so it's very noticeable. Other of us who are able-bodied, our wounds are inside, but they're really not hidden, because most people can be around somebody and know whether they're being genuine and authentic or phony. So this is an opportunity, and this is a call, and this is a challenge to not only be in service, to give of yourself because others have given to you and because the antelope has given to you and because your community has given to you and because people are fighting for us in countries that most of us will never even go to. It's knowing, and it's being part, and it's jumping in with both feet, as infallible as we are, and just doing our best, and knowing that God's going to make up the difference. If I can't give you enough, I can give you all that I have, and then God will make up the difference. And when you put yourself there, God can use you. And he will use you, and you will be a thousandfold more effective. You can give your one penny in genuine love and genuine caring, and being your authentic self with your one penny, and you give that to God, and he will multiply it more so than he will multiply the, I have tons of money, so I'm going to give you my $1 million. It's not the amount of your time or your money or your talent. It's not the amount. It's the heart that you give it with. And this can be a season of the heart and a season of giving in a way that you really connect with somebody or something. So I would encourage you to find a way in these last few weeks of this year to find what the universe would have you do, and then do it immediately. Like the antelope being called into action and knowing that you are the power, and not being afraid to be vulnerable and show your true self, and know that God is going to, if there's any lack, that God will be there to fill in the gap. Reach out to a family member or a friend that you have not spoken to in a while. And maybe there's been some, you didn't leave in a good way. And let them know that you're thinking about them and you care for them. You don't have to reconnect with them. You don't have to invite them over for dinner. You don't have to go to their house. Open the door for a relationship. And it's quite possible, and I'm wondering how your life might be changed if you just made a phone call. Do not text. Do not write a letter. Physically talk to them. It's quite possible that the universe would ask you to do that.
Yes, hey, Mark. Dr. Connie, can you put three cards down for me from the angels?
Sure. Do you have a question, or do you just...
Yeah, I don't really have a question per se.
All right. You see, I always use my Archangel Michael cards with you because you are the, you guys are the, all righty. Well, what Archangel Michael wants you to know is, because I do think that there's a question in there somewhere, even if you didn't say it, that you're on the right path, that what you are moving toward is going to have a favorable outcome, and that you are moving towards your life purpose. So I know that you've had a lot of questions, and I know that there's been a lot of like gray fog out there for you right now, but this is a... trying to think of the word. This is like, Michael, you are going to be in the fog a little bit longer. You do not see blue skies just yet, but the path that you're on, even if it, you only see 1 foot in front of you at a time, is the right one for you, and you are moving in the direction you're supposed to be moving into.
Oh, yeah, I'm just listening. Thank you.
You're welcome. In 25 words or less, would you, I'd mentioned Theta Healing a little bit earlier, and I really know that for a lot of people that this would be very, a very helpful thing to do, because my understanding of it is, I don't know how my friend does what she does, and I know you do Theta as well, but can you just kind of describe that really quickly?
You mean as far as what a session looks like, or like how technique works?
No.
Okay. Well, Theta Healing basically involves taking a look at whatever situation an individual is dealing with. Like they could be basically saying, well, you know, I have these negative thoughts in my head, or, you know, I can't seem to get beyond the sickness, or something along those lines. So lots of times what we do with Theta Healing is we actually do what's called muscle testing, and this is done just by simply asking a question, yes or no, and seeing which way a person actually moves with their body. And you actually have to see it to see how amazing it is, because you can actually ask control questions and actually see people sway forward and backward based on, it's like they don't even have to think about it and their bodies move. And so lots of times we can ask questions like, you know, do you feel that you're worthy of love? Can you accept unconditional love? Are you capable of giving unconditional love? And you know, through that, you can find out that someone might have some type of underlying belief, and it can be at a couple different levels. It can be at a what we call a generation level. It can be at a core level, which means you basically got the idea or inherited the belief in this lifetime. It could be past life, or it could be coming from many lifetimes. And what we basically do is, as the facilitator or the witness, we basically go to the creator and we request changes on your behalf once we have your permission. So for every change I make, I have to ask your permission. Once you give it to me, then I basically go into what's called a state of theta, which is like a brainwave state. And I'm actually able to connect up to the creator and request and command the change for you. And then I basically witness it, and I can actually test you right afterwards and see that something has actually shifted. It's a very powerful healing technique. There's a lot of great theta healers that are out there. I actually do it also. I've had a lot of success with it, and you know, you can pretty much do everything with it. I have a tendency, since I'm just kind of modular with the way I have so many different tools that I can use. I have about 14 different tools. I can use everything from angel healing to hands-on healing and stuff like that. So if you want to check out more about that, you can go to thetahealing.com and find a person in your area that's certified to do it. And with that, we're almost done with the show. I hope I answered your question.
Well, you did, and the reason that I wanted you to do that is because sometimes when we need to move forward, we need to rid ourselves of some of these old beliefs. And as I was thinking of my friend that does theta in California, and I knew you did theta as well, I just wanted to kind of throw that out there, that the universe may suggest other types of healing modalities or energetic work to help shift as well. So that's why I was asking.
Yeah, that's correct. So it's great having you on. Just a reminder, everybody, there is no show next Thursday, so enjoy your Thanksgiving. And we'll return the first week of December with our show on Thursday night with Dr. Connie at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard. And with that, I'll say happy Thanksgiving, Dr. Connie. And
you, thank you so much.
Yeah, and thank you. And I want to say goodnight to everybody. And you've been listening to In the Arms of the Angels on Spiritual Connections Radio. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you.